Welcome back in. It's another episode of West Virginia Talk with James and Jerry. I'm James.
And I'm Jerry.
And we want to apologize for the huge gap in episodes. We just had a really bad summer.
It's been a horrible summer.
Terrible. So the last episode we put out was June 5th, and that was Greenbrier, which is doing very well. But, you know, even though we haven't been on for a while, fans out there, they just keep downloading and keep downloading what we've got. So, but we're going to bring you something new today. We're going to take a direction towards sports. We did this last year and the year before also. So we're very happy to have our special guest with us today. It's the new West Virginia University men's basketball head coach, Josh Eilert. Welcome to the show, Coach Eilert.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Great. Great.
Doing really good.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get into this. Tell us about yourself and your background.
I mean, I talked about it several times. I'm just a small town kid. Grew up in North Central Kansas. Always loved the game of basketball. You know, it's you know, you come from a small town. You're a three sport athlete. You do everything you can, and sometimes it's hard to field a team. And you know, it's everything was built around the agricultural community. So you know, first and foremost, figuring out, you know, your livelihood and getting the crops out of the field was the main priority. But everybody, you know, you didn't have a lot going on outside of that. So you dove into every sport you could and got involved. And basketball kind of became my love over the years. And so, I mean, I didn't have all these opportunities these kids have today. I mean, AAU, you know, it wasn't really a thing. You know, I played, you know, football, basketball, baseball, and did everything I could, you know, to help with the family farm. And so I'm just a small town kid, you know, and you know, I went through, end up being recruited at not as high levels I thought, like most kids, you know, seem to think. And I ended up going junior college. I was a qualifier, wanted to play junior college. And I thought that was the best opportunity for me to, you know, step up to the Division I level. And I ended up getting that opportunity at Division I level at Kansas State after 2 years of junior college. And, you know, that's where I kind of, you know, got my feel for Division I sports and basketball and really got that love for the game.
Well, honestly, if you come from Kansas, you almost have to be a huge basketball fan, don't you? I mean, the state is notorious for farming and basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's split. It's not like West Virginia. West Virginia, you know, it's 95% West Virginia. And, you know, we have Marshall here in the state, but it seems like, and maybe I live in a bubble in a vacuum, but I feel like the majority of all the support here is West Virginia University. Now, Kansas, right. you have Kansas Jayhawks, and they got a hell of a tradition. And over the years, they've done an incredible job. But so does Kansas State, you know, throughout the 70s and 80s. So, and Wichita State was also there. So you had three really good programs. Kansas kind of separated themselves over the years, but really good basketball programs to gravitate towards in that state. And it was a huge basketball state. So, yeah, I mean, the support was always there and everybody looked up to those programs and I was no different. You know, I looked up to Kansas State. That was my dream school. That's where everybody in my family went to. Big Catholic family. I got 42 some odd first cousins, and my dad was one of 10. So everybody went to Kansas State. You know, we joke around about the one cousin that went to KU for med school, and his undergrad was Kansas State, though. So we all gravitated towards the Wildcats, and I watched, you know, Lon Kruger and Steve Henson and small-town kids like Steve Henson go up through that program in Manhattan and Kansas State, and that was always my dream to get to that level.
Well, let's talk about the day that you were hired. I mean, Jerry, we joked about it because the news came out on my birthday, and I was like, that's a great, great birthday gift. So let's talk about day one. As soon as you were named interim coach, you had to do a little damage control. So how did you get some of the right. So how did you get some to stay, but some others decided to move on?
You know, I wasn't going to hold anybody back in this day and age. I mean, certainly there's opportunities out there and they can use their leverage to kind of, you know, up their status in terms of the NIL game. So I wasn't about to try to hold anybody up, but I wanted to tell everybody, first and foremost, I got your best interests at heart, one way or another, whether you're playing here or you're playing elsewhere. I want to be there to support you. And just like I was there to support my family through that whole turbulent time during that week, I wanted to be that same person for all those guys that I was responsible for, you know, as an assistant coach under my watch here at West Virginia. So I want to be that solid rock, you know, steady guy that they can lean to. And I had a message for him. I said, hey, guys, you guys are going to play one way or another, whether it's for West Virginia or whoever it may be, you're playing next year. So just continue to do what you're supposed to do. Be a professional and take care of your business. Some things are out of your control, 100% out of your control. So you make the most of the circumstances you're under, and usually it works out for you.
Okay, so let's talk about your new staff. A lot of notable names, especially for Mountaineer fans, on your coaching staff. Deshaun Butler, Jordan McCabe, Alex Ruoff, and you have DeMar Johnson in there too. So talk about why you chose these guys or why they chose you.
You know, I had a relationship with DJ first and foremost because he kind of came in mid-season last year, and we kind of built that bond and that trust, and I thought he brought a lot to the table in terms of his NBA connections, his influence, you know, there in the NBA, but also his connection with the guys. He was really connected, and really those guys really gravitated towards him. And that's huge in the recruiting scene, you know, to be able to sell a guy that's played in the NBA, been there where they want to get to, but also has that relationship status that can really build solid relationships and trust with these guys. So that was a no-brainer keeping him. Alex Ruoff, you know, had just spent 15 years overseas in a pro career, had spent time with us as a GA the previous year, and that's where he was wanting to get to as a young assistant coach trying to get there. So we worked together, and he has just a crazy attention to detail that really, you know, these kids need, you know, the accountability and the attention to detail. And, you know, he's got skin in the game as well, due to the fact that, you know, he's played here. He's represented West Virginia University. So he's got that equity in the process as well. And then the easy phone call, are you kidding me? Let's look out from the outside. Let's go. Who do I go to? You know, Deshaun Butler, you know, he's a legend here. He took us to the Final Four, you know, as a part of the coaching staff the first three years we were here. And we're blessed to have him as one of our, you know, leaders of our program. And, I mean, his resume here at West Virginia speaks for himself. But he continued to work up the ladder after his career kind of came short due to all his injuries. So he was working up the ladder and was doing well with the Knicks. And I thought, maybe it's a long shot, but I'm going to call Deshaun and see if he wants to come join me. And he couldn't sign, you know, on the dotted line fast enough. And he could. So it was great to have, you know, that relationship I had with him, and I continued over the years. I think it was a main factor in the fact that he could trust me and he knew what my vision was going to be for the program. So he jumped on board immediately. And then we go to the fourth, Jordan McCabe. Jordan McCabe, he's done everything the right way, 100% the right way. He's a great influence. He has an incredible amount of influence on the kids these days. So having that connection of a guy that just finished playing and connect with where he's trying to get to and articulate that to the kids, I think is an incredible asset, not only for our guys in the gym, but those people he's recruiting. You know, every time he goes out on the road, you know, I tell the story about him helping, you know, chaperone my son to the Memphis, the college basketball academy, where there's 400 of the top players, you know, out there. I couldn't make it, but I sent him, one, to recruit, and two, to be my son's chaperone. And my son calls me back, you know, after the first day being there. And he says, Dad, you, it's incredible. Every time I go somewhere, all the other kids here are saying, how do you know Jordan McCabe? So he's got an incredible amount of influence with all those kids and this younger generation. So it's been awesome. I mean, we're all kind of feeling our way out and trying to figure out how we come together. And we all kind of have the same influence whether it be the coaching influence that Coach Huggins kind of instilled in us in terms of defense, and we're trying to keep that, and then trying to put our own stamp on it in terms of offense. So we're kind of – it's not like we got four different pieces from four different influences. We've all kind of grew up through the same tree and trying to instill that on our guys that we have today.
Not only getting this great coaching staff established, what made you fall in love with West Virginia?
I got three wild and wonderful children from here, and I was newly married when I first came here in 07. You know, it was a leap of faith for us. I just finished my master's degree at Kansas State and was a GA for Coach Huggins, and he got the job in June of 07 or May of 07, and, you know, I was, you know, 3 or 4 weeks behind him. He said, he said, we made a connection for that year at Kansas State that he trusted me and I trusted him. And I had just been married for 1 year, and we were trying to figure out our life and where it was going to take us. And we took a leap of faith. He said, you know, come with me. I said, let's go. And my wife and I came out here with a 29-foot U-Haul, pulling her car behind it. And you know, we just booked it across country and made a journey of it. And we started it. It was great. It was beautiful from day one. My wife and I became closer. We didn't have all those outside family influences. We had to kind of figure things out together. I have a new job. She's learning the community, and we fell in love with it. It's just been absolutely wonderful. And it wasn't long after we got pregnant with our first child. And now, I mean, he's a sophomore in high school now. He's 15 years old, but you know, there's pictures that go back to our first Sweet 16 year in 2008. You know, she was 9 months pregnant and with us in Phoenix. So we immediately adopted West Virginia because it was just so similar to the people that we grew up with, and the people were so accepting and so wonderful to be around. And who can't love West Virginia and all it has to offer?
Bette Midler.
Well, we're not worried about her.
No, definitely not. Now, you mentioned earlier recruiting, and that's something that we could talk about all day long. As a matter of fact, I actually met you in December at the Bob Kirk Invitational. Me and a friend, we were calling the Bob Kirk Invitational on the radio, and I had just a millisecond to go say hey to you guys, and I got a picture with you and Bob. And then when my friend sent it to me, it was you cut off. And I said, why did you cut him off? And he said, because he was leaning way back. I think he thought you just wanted a picture with Bob. I'm like, no. So we actually dug up the actual cutoff.
You can be honest.
No.
I can handle it. I'm a big boy. I can handle it.
No. So we dug up the actual cutoff part of the picture, and I actually put them back together. So it's kind of goofy looking because I'm right there with Bob, but you're like leaning way out of the picture. But it's all in there together. So
love it.
How often can I be in a picture with two West Virginia head coaches?
Well, it's that's something you probably didn't even know. So, you know, absolutely.
No, I'll be honest with you. At that time, I couldn't remember your name. I knew your face. I did know the face. So let's talk about the whole purpose of the Bob Kirk Invitational to showcase. You guys were obviously to recruit some high profile recruits. Montvert was there, and Oak Hill, and Sunrise Christian Academy. So it's almost a three-way job now as far as recruiting. When in the day, it was high school. Now you have high school, you have transfer portal, and basically you have to recruit your own roster yearly now. So talk about what you put emphasis on and kind of the struggles of recruiting. It's a year-round job.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that there's in the past, you could mark down a couple of weeks during the summer. It's a dead period, and you won't be doing any recruiting. And you can go, you know, lock that in with your family and go on a family vacation. But right. Now that's really, really hard to do. It's because even if there is a dead period, you're probably working the portal in some sense or on the phones trying to fill up some type of hole in your roster. And we looked at it, look at the late additions to so many of these rosters. I mean, those people that have a late start date for their fall semester have a way bigger advantage of those that have the early start date, because there's pieces that hit the portal. These kids are graduating and hitting the portal and being grad transfers and immediately eligible to play, and they're doing it late August. And so, yeah, people are being, and by people, I mean schools are being very patient with filling all their immediate needs, because they know that, you know, they might get ahead of the ball game and then later, you know, kick themselves in the butt because they weren't patient enough when a really nice piece becomes available late. So it's 100%, it's 100% a game now that you're playing year round. I wish I could say, hey, we got our recruiting done, and, you know, It's not like football into where you have a signing day and you got all these kids signing. And in a lot of cases, we won't have anybody on signing day in November.
Yeah. So speaking of high school recruiting, something I've always wanted to ask prior administration is there's a basketball tournament I cover every year. It's the ACIT down in Frostburg State. And they have a lot of BCL and WCAC teams, DeMatha, Gonzaga, St. John's, Mount St. Joe's. For the length of time that I've covered that ACIT, which is the Alhambra Catholic Invitational Tournament, I never noticed any recruit in that tournament with a West Virginia offer. Almost none. There was two that I can think of. It was BJ Anya, who wound up going to play for the NC State Wolfpack, and one of the ones that played for Paul the Sixth. Now, Paul the Sixth coach, Glenn Ferrello, said he was really good friends with Bob Huggins, but they never had a pipeline there. Is DC and Baltimore an area that you want to start to focus on recruiting? Because there's a real hotbed of talent.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the idea in terms of Dermar Johnson. He came from that area and has an incredible amount of connections in that area. So anytime he doesn't have a specific place to go, he's going to D.C. Mm-hmm. He's going to Baltimore. So he's
who did he play for?
He played in Maine for Max Good. I can't remember the prep school, but that's where he played. Ended up with Cincinnati for that 1 year, and he was a one and done. But gotcha. He is originally from that area.
Okay. So talk about the new Big 12 and the schedule. There's some really good out-of-conference games this year. Monmouth's in there, St. John's. And I know St. John's hasn't been exactly where we pictured him with Mike Anderson, but they're still decent. And then you have the backyard brawl, Pitt's on there, and Ohio State. So talk about the out-of-conference schedule that we have, and then talk about the new Big 12, because right out of the gate, the first conference game's Houston.
Yeah, welcome to the Big 12, Coach Ryder.
Yeah, that's a brutal schedule.
Well, I mean, if you look, I've done scheduling for 5-6 years prior to, I think this schedule is the first one that, you know, I'd passed on to Trent Michaels, and I kind of guided him through the whole process of scheduling and getting through that. So I had a hand in it, but if I'd have known I'm the head coach of the Mountaineers this year, I'm probably not going to go as heavy as I would have. You know, I probably would have bought a lot more wins to make sure it was a smooth transition. But it is what it is. I mean, we never really shied away from playing anybody, and I think that's really helped us in a lot of cases. Make sure we strengthen our net to where maybe we don't have the best record, but you know, we have one of the best strength of schedule. To combat that, and we're very well battle tested and ready to go. The Big 12 schedule, I mean, it's a gauntlet. It's a gauntlet. I mean, we're all going through the new transition, and all the other coaches are have this change, you know, ahead of them. So I guess it's not a bad thing for me to try to adapt to the change as a first year head coach. So this is all I've got, you know, I've got to go by. So, yeah, we don't have the perfect round robin, but I think we got a pretty good draw in terms of who we play at home as to who we play away and our double opponents, home and away. So that draw kind of, I felt like, went in our direction. Now, once the schedule comes out, which it came out the other day, then I look at, okay, from a West Virginia standpoint, with all the travel that we do, who has the advantage in terms of the rest days? And I looked at, we have three advantage and four disadvantage in terms of, okay, if we all play on Saturday, this coming Saturday, who has one more rest day than the other? Like Kansas plays all these big Monday games, right? So their opponent for that following Saturday might play on Tuesday or Wednesday. And so they have more rest compared to their opponent coming that following Saturday. And it's huge in the Big 12. And I said it for years, the Big 12 week off is those teams that play Big Monday and don't play till the following Saturday. And when we travel as much as we do, that stuff's very, very important. And then you look at the schedule in terms of how many ESPN Plus games in and where that's going. I mean, there's seven of us are of the 14 that have, 11 or more ESPN Plus games. And sometimes that's not a bad thing for us because, yeah, our fans, it sucks for them. But the game times are way more conducive to getting home and getting our legs under us for the following game.
Right. Well, if you look at the schedule, later in the schedule, you're on the road at Manhattan, Kansas. So you're going back to your old home where you played. And how's it feel for you to be on the other side of the court? And how do you think Kansas State fans will receive you, being that you're an alum, but for another team now?
I don't know. I don't really think of that. I mean, it's been 19 years.
Oh, that would kill me. I wouldn't be able to sleep.
No, I mean, I'm going to have a lot of distractions because I have so many. Like I told you earlier, my dad had 10 brothers and sisters all in Kansas. Mm-hmm. I had 40-some first cousins. And so there's a lot of distractions when I go to Manhattan, and it's good distractions. So it's probably going to keep some of those things off my mind and be able to connect with, my family when I'm back there. But certainly those double road trips, you said it. I mean, we got a couple of them, Iowa State and Kansas State. We'll spend an extra day in Manhattan, but also the Texas road trip. When you can knock a couple of those out and they back those up to where it's Saturday, Monday, not Saturday, Tuesday's a stretch, Saturday, Wednesday, even more stretch when you're spending all that time on the road. So as long as they're Saturday, Mondays, and you can avoid all the back and forth from, Midwest to East mm-hmm. Coast is way better for us.
All right, so Coach, you look at the current roster, it's a lot different than what it was last year. So I'm going to mention some names. I want you to talk about these players. How about Arizona transfer Kerr Carissa? And before you answer that, I wanted to ask you this. Have you met his mother yet?
No, I have not met. I was supposed to go to Estonia
okay.
when he was playing for his national team. His plans changed with his national team, and he was about ready to come back to the States, and he wanted to see his grandparents and travel out there. So we adjusted those plans, so I never got to meet his family.
Reason I was asking that I was watching film. He was in pregame warmups, uh-huh. and he was wearing this T-shirt that was written in Estonian. So I actually translated it, and it says "Mama's boy." So I didn't know
that's the first I've heard of it. Now I'm gonna have to call him on it, which is fine. This is fine. I mean, that's great that he loves his mother, but I haven't heard that part of it.
Well, I mean. Literally, it says "mommy's son," so I'm taking it as "mama's boy." It's the way I'm taking it.
Well, I'm guessing he probably realized that there's going to be very few that translated that. So
I'm calling him out on it. So talk about Kerr Carissa and how big of a splash that was getting him in the transfer portal.
No, Kerr's great. That was probably the first piece that we really built around from there. We've never really had pure point guards. We've had some really good point guards, but I'm talking pass first point guards. We've had Deuce McBride, which is special, Javon Carter, which is special, but those two guys were really scoring point guards that could do a lot of things. Kerr is really a pass first point guard in every sense of the word. And mm-hmm. it gets to a point where you have to be, a little bit aggressive towards him. Like, hey, you're going to have to take your shot from time to time. We need you to take the shot. if, you know, all else fails, you got to be the guy that knocks that shot down at the end of the clock if the ball's in your hands. So, no, but he was that piece that we kind of, you know, built on early in the spring before everything went south and we had to do all the damage control. So, you know, we got him, and then he helped us recruit Jesse, and then, you know, that parlayed into Raekwon Battle. And so, yeah, that was the piece that everybody kind of gravitated to. He's got a great personality, fun to be around. You know, when he gets on the court, you know, you see a different version. He's very competitive and got that fire to him. So it's hopefully I see him as one of our, you know, top leaders and a program that we can, you know, keep for the next couple of years that they really build upon.
Well, you mentioned Raekwon Battle. How confident are you that the waiver's coming?
Well, if you really dug into his story, understood everything and what that kid has went through, and because he's a two-time transfer, he transferred from Washington State to Montana State, and Montana State, he lost his head coach and transferred to us. So if you really dug into his story and knew all the details, which I'm not going to, you know, dive into,
right,
everybody would say it's a no-brainer. Rubber stamp, move on to the next case. And trying to make sure all that documentation and everything aligns to where, you know, they get a folder of information, because there's nobody like presenting this to the NCAA. It's just like documentation you're handing over to say, yes, the kid needs a waiver and needs to be playing immediately, you know, for his well-being. And trying to get that documentation to align and really sell the story and everything he's went through, so that's the challenge. So we're not presenting anything. We're just giving them documentation to say, based on statements, why he should be immediately eligible here at West Virginia. So if you're really dug into his story, like I went out to his reservation and spent time with him, spent time with the people on the Tulalip reservation, and dug into that. I mean, it's a no-brainer in terms of, you know, why he needs it and why he should be immediately eligible.
Okay, so as far as like transfers coming in, I'm really excited about your big guy, your Jesse Edwards out of Syracuse. But I wanted to ask you, it's kind of the novelty transfer, I guess, is a cook. Tell me you have a nickname for him.
AK.
That was one of the ones that I was guessing. I didn't know if it was AA or AK or KO or OK, something in there. It was, okay.
Several guys call him AK. Several guys call him Cook. So, I mean, it's he's a nice piece, a really nice addition that kind of shores up some of our lack of depth at the, you know, forward position. He can back up the five. He can naturally play the four.
Yeah.
He shoots it well. But more than anything, he's a communicator on defense. He's got the alpha personality from a communication standpoint on defense, and he's really going to shore up some of those deficiencies we had on the defensive end. As athletic he is and active as he is on the defensive end.
Well, one more statement about this roster, and then we'll send it to Jerry. I think as far as who I think your starting five will be in the bench, I think for a first-year head coach, you got one hell of a roster there, but it just didn't fall in your lap. You had to work to get this roster together.
No, I mean, it was from day one, even before everything went, after the season was over with Maryland. I was a part of every piece of it, whether it be Kerr coming in, Raekwon coming in, Jesse coming in. And then it was all the challenges of trying to keep them after that and trying to figure out who wants to be here. And like I said earlier, I'm not trying to hold anybody up. I'm not going to beg people to be here. I want them to be here. You know, I think West Virginia people would understand that, you know, they're not going to represent the state and university well if they really don't want to be here. So, first and foremost, I want those guys here that's going to, you know, lay it on the line for West Virginia and represent us the right way.
Well, I love that. It's just like your press conference the other day, you were telling the fans, we want you to fully dive in and support us because we're going to bring it from day one. That mentality stepping in is huge, in my opinion. How do you get your team to buy into that exact mentality?
That's the challenge. I mean, certainly the chemistry is a challenge because all these pieces weren't here all summer. Even if they were here all summer, I mean, they're all so new and they're all coming from so many different programs. And it's so different than it used to be with you just build and build and build and the cohesion just is naturally there. So, you know, I look back and it's only hardly a month ago when we brought in our last pieces. So they're still trying to get to know each other. We're trying to build trust. We're trying to build chemistry. But yeah, that message is going to be loud and clear. I mean, you're stepping foot and representing not only yourself and your family, but West Virginia and everybody that's came before you and the 1.8 million people that you know, live and die by West Virginia sports and how we represent them.
Now, to kind of give the fan base a little bit more of an idea, if you could pick another college coach to compare yourself to, what do you think your style is going to kind of lean towards?
You know, Lon Kruger, you know, he's out of the business now, but I always looked up to him. I watched him from as a little kid, you know, how he operated, how he handled his business. He was very professional. I'm not, you know, I certainly have that trigger that eventually, you know, I could pop off and probably lose my mind, but I'm going to, you know, try to keep as level headed and cool as possible. And poise is a huge part of this game. So if you can't stay poised when things are getting tough, then it's going to be hard. And guys feed off that energy one way or another. So hopefully I can bring a calming presence to the bench and to the sideline and to a point that, you know, we have a level head going into, you know, every adversity that we may face in a given game.
I got one more thing real quick. You have a major event coming up on October the 6th. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that is the Mountaineer Madness.
So what all is going to occur? Because I really want people to come to this. I want people to show up for this team, for you guys. I can't say enough already just for what you're doing. I know this is an opportunity for you, but in a day and age where loyalty is something that's hard to find, you've had ample opportunity to pick up and go somewhere else. But you chose to want to stay here, and you've gathered other coaches that want to be here, and really in a very tough situation, not only from how it all occurred, but from a scheduling standpoint. A lot of guys are going to go, listen, I don't even want to take that chance, because it's this is a mountain that y'all are climbing. And I love the fact that you love our state so much and our school so much that you're willing to put that effort into it.
What better place to climb a mountain than in West Virginia?
Yeah, let's move mountains. You know, that's where we got to get to. I mean, everybody on the same page, you know, pulling in the same direction. And I'm not just talking about our staff and our players. I want these guys to feel the full support of West Virginia and feel the fact that, you know, even though we went through some adversity, man, we ain't going anywhere. We're West Virginia. We're not taking a step backwards. We're always looking forwards. We're trying to figure out, you know, where we go from here. And we, like I said, we play with that chip on our shoulder, and that's the best West Virginia teams I've seen over the years. We play with the chip on our shoulder and nothing to lose. Let's you know, go ahead. Let's go. Let's line up and play.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. It was a pleasure talking to you. I wanted to let you know, too, I know that you get hounded by media constantly, but we're a little different because we're worldwide. So we've been downloaded in 1,000 cities, 38 countries. So we're helping you reach out to people in Congo, India, Germany, huge following in Germany. We have military out there that love all things West Virginia, so
that's
they'll be listening to you.
That's my German roots. I mean, that's where the family came from, and you know, the 1800s. So you know, I got that German influence. I hope they're listening.
Well, out of the 1,000 cities we have, one of our top 10 cities is Frankfurt, Germany. So yeah, so we're getting you out there in the world, and they're getting to meet the new head coach of West Virginia men's basketball. So we really appreciate you joining us, and really, really, we mean it. Good luck this year, and we're super excited. There's a change there.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and yeah, I'm excited to take this challenge on, and and be the leader of this program, and we're going to do things the right way, and we're going to represent the right way. So excited about everybody that's, you know, jumping on board, and I feel the support. I really do, and I'm excited to have that, and it motivates me every day.
So once again, people, don't forget, Friday, October 6th is the Mountaineer Madness basketball tip-off. You're going to have an opportunity to watch a three-point contest, dunk contest, meet the team, get autographs, which is something you don't get to do a lot of times at a lot of these big events, but they're letting you do that this time, and a chance to come out and meet the coaches. And so we beg you, show up, show your support for this team, show your support for this staff, show your support for this state.
Well, I read on Facebook Coach Eiler's going to be in the dunk contest. I did read that.
I think those days are over. I was certainly a strength of mine when I was 20, not when I'm 43.
Coach, at least you had those days. I could never dunk, so. All right, we appreciate your time, and really good luck to you this year. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, so we hope you enjoyed listening to Coach Eiler, and it's a new era of West Virginia basketball.
It's an exciting era of West Virginia basketball, and I know I, for one, am actually excited about the basketball season. I want to see what he does.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he's a younger generation, and I like what he said about the energy. You know, the players feed off that, whether it's good or bad, they feed off that energy, and I think the players that he has now are going to feed off good energy. So, it was great talking to him.
It was.
And it was great that you guys tuned into us, downloaded us, or streamed us. Please send us some feedback if you want to. Our email address is westvirginiatalk@yahoo.com. And check out our Facebook page.
Yep.
All right. So that's going to do it for us. I'm James.
I'm Jerry.
Thanks for listening to West Virginia Talk, a J&J production.